This is episode 225 on September 28th, 2017.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
I'm Dave Podner.
And I'm Greg McMillan.
Greetings, gentlemen, and welcome, Greg. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Just finally got through this heat wave we had up here.
Yeah, it was in the 90s over here, and it's supposed to drop, and we're going to have some cooler weather from now on, hopefully. So what have you guys been up to? We'll start with you, Greg.
Well, I have been enjoying my new iPhone 8 Plus.
Whoa. And,
unfortunately, I've had to work all week, so I haven't been able to enjoy it as much as I'm going to starting tomorrow. But I have had a chance to play around with it a little bit. There's a lot of cool things in it.
Yeah.
Especially with the camera and the portrait mode. I'm still learning, you know, maybe some of the best ways to use that feature, but it's pretty cool.
Cool. What you been up to, Dave?
Well, we actually playing around a little bit with iOS 11 with Ruth 7 Plus.
Yeah.
And admittedly not as nice as the 8, but playing around with some of the with the live photo with the bouncing effect and some of the slow shutter effect.
Yeah.
There's a fountain right across the street from where Ruth works. And what she was able to do, get admittedly, middle of the day, bright, sunny, so ideal conditions, but getting the slow shutter effect.
Okay.
With
taking the live
normal photo, you know, special setup, admittedly, slow shutter camera may be able to do a better job, but just hold up, take a regular photo, and to get that buttery, smooth look going over the waterfall.
Nice.
The fountain giving a waterfall effect is just amazing. And we're also having that wonderful mid-July weather in late September.
Yes.
So, yeah, we had our break today, and it would have been nice to have it last Sunday for me. As a bunch of us were kind of sweating running a 10K last week, instead of normal nice cool fall weather having summer weather.
Yeah.
But we're finally hitting fall weather for us when we actually should be having fall weather.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nice coming up, and I know I'm going to look forward to it cuz I work outside. For myself, I've been actually playing around with live photos mostly. Before the changes with iOS 11, I really didn't see an appeal for live photos. And so now I think all the photos I'm taking are live. And actually I didn't realize you can do it, but I was taking a series of images of my youngest, and she was being goofy, being that she moves a lot, it's hard to sometimes get what I want. Well, with the live photo, I was able to go in and change the actual surface image that you see on the live photo to one that I thought was a little bit more appealing. So I was like, huh, you get 3 seconds of, you know, this one scene that you can actually choose what is you think is probably the better image than what you got, because it'll take like a second in front, a second during, and a second afterwards. It's a 3-second video basically. But they're all still shots. And so I was able to do that. Also, I've been playing around with the, screen record. And thought I had a perfect solution for Mark and I. Mark and I have been talking about doing recording some of our conversations while he's driving. But unfortunately, you can't record over the phone. So I'm going to have to test maybe if we can do it over Skype or maybe FaceTime. And so, you know, that is one thing that I was hoping. I knew it would be a long shot. And so I said, all right, since you're on the phone, let me go ahead and hit record. And it basically, it cut off the microphone from being able to record. So, and I understand from Apple's perspective and from state laws and all that, that they need to do that. You know, in South Carolina, you can record a conversation as long as you're one of the participants. As other states, you can't record unless they know about it. So, you know, every state's different, so they're going to do a one-size-fits-all and just cut the microphone off, and you can't record. But I'm going to try and find a way. But, and if anybody has a solution, let me know, and I'd be eternally grateful.
I haven't tried the screen recording. When you do a screen recording, say you're editing a photo,
yeah,
and you're talking through it, does it record your voice as well?
Yes, it does.
Oh, sweet.
So okay. you have the option of either recording with the microphone or recording without the microphone. And initially, the microphone is turned off. But if you go to when you put your screen record on your pop-up screen. So if you swipe your from the bottom center, up, yeah, the control yeah, center, you can either press it once and it'll start recording without the microphone, or you just hold it. And what it does is it gives you an option of turning the microphone on. And once you turn it on, you don't have to go back and turn it back on again. You just, you know, it's going to stay like that until you turn the microphone off, and then you can start recording.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you can actually record in portrait mode, or you can record in, landscape, depending on the app that you're trying to, feature or talk about, or if it's just something in particular that you're doing on your phone, maybe some edits, and you're able to edit in a landscape instead of a portrait mode. I tend to aim for the landscape because it fits televisions and computers better that way. But there are some apps that you can't actually, you know, use it in a landscape format. I think Snapseed you still can. But maybe some of the other capture apps you can do in landscape, but then there's others that are just built strictly to be in portrait mode.
I guess if you're, you know, trying to show someone how to do something on their phone, portrait mode is just fine because that's how they're going to see it anyway.
Yeah. It just looks funky when it's on YouTube or on your television.
Yeah. The one limitation though is if you start in landscape and then you rotate your phone, it keeps it as that narrow look to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do like a smart rotation where it rotates like if you do a FaceTime with someone and you rotate your phone vertical to horizontal, it'll change the aspect of the actual image the person's seeing. Where it won't do that with the screen recording. It treats it just like a regular video recording.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, I'm still playing with it. I actually did an edit on an image that I would like to recreate, and in using, it's most likely going to be in portrait mode because I was using Tada SLR, and unless Tada SLR does actually work in landscape, I may keep it that way. But the image was it taken in? Hold on. Make sure I'm saying this correctly. I did take the image in
portrait mode. That's the other thing.
So
I'll say if you take an image in portrait mode, you may want to edit it in portrait mode.
Yes.
Just to, but like I said, YouTube, it doesn't look good, but YouTube's the app has gotten a little bit smarter with vertical video.
It has.
Luckily.
You can actually on YouTube, you can tap on the image and it will fill the screen in portrait mode if the image was actually shot in portrait mode. So that is one nice thing about it, but doesn't quite work on television or on a computer.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, there's still too many people shooting vertical video.
Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into our focus point.
Focus point.
All right. So the last couple episodes, we talked about the new iPhones and iOS 11. And this week, Greg posted something on Facebook explaining his decision in going with the iPhone 8 Plus. So, Greg, why don't you tell everybody what your thoughts were and the decision you went with on the 8 Plus?
Okay. I want everybody to know that my tail is between my legs for this. I put the same post on another group on Facebook. It's for another show I listen to, Mac Power Users, and I did get a little bit of flack for my opening statement, which was something to do with I came to my senses. And the flack that I got was, I shouldn't try to persuade other people not to get the iPhone X.
Right.
And, but I did say to that person in the comment that, I didn't mean to try to sway anybody. This was basically my senses I came to, my own senses. Right. So I got thinking since the last time I was on about, the iPhone X is going to be a device that's going to knock your socks off. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But then I got looking at Dave's chart that he made showing the differences between everything from the 6S right up to the 10. And I compared, as anybody knows, I'm more interested in the cameras and the photography side of it than anything else. So I looked at the cameras and what they can do, what features they have, what they're capable of. And for the difference in price, and for me, and I'm going to say by the time you add tax and Apple Care, which, by the way, Apple Care for the 10 would cost $249 up here in Canada.
Wow.
And Apple Care for the 8 Plus was $199. So it's $50 more. Okay, so there's that. When I got the 8 Plus, I got a deal from my carrier, more than $200 off.
Wow.
Because of being a loyal customer or whatever. So, I mean, bottom line is I saved myself about $800.
Wow. Yes. Okay? Mm.
So
that's major.
Yeah, it is.
That's almost another phone right there.
Oh yeah. It's ridiculous. So for the other $800, all I was going to get was image stabilization in the telephoto, 36% more light coming in with a larger aperture, and portrait mode on the front-facing camera because it's a true depth camera with the ability to do the Face ID.
Yeah.
And then there's the Face ID feature itself, which I think is going to be great. It's going to work well. I really don't think they're going to have problems with it. But the thing with Face ID is that the phone needs your attention. You need to be looking at the phone to unlock it.
Yeah.
Sure, it could be sitting on a desk. And you can just touch the screen to wake it up and then look at it and it'll unlock. But I thought about how I behave with my phone. And if it's sitting on a table, I can feel for the home button and I can just tap my finger on it. Touch ID works so fast that it's open.
Yeah.
And I don't have to look at it every time. So there's that aspect of it too. And I went into a store in the mall and looked at the display model they had there. I compared it to my 6S the wide color gamut on the screen is really nice. And I should go to the chat here because Matt, he's probably reaming me out over this. Matt, don't waste your money on the 10. Get the 8 Plus. you know, the screen really, really looks nice. I work with a guy who has a Samsung Galaxy S7. It's got the OLED display. And you know what? I like my screen better.
Hmm.
It's just, I don't know what it is about it. It's just really, really nice and vibrant. The colors are fantastic. I honestly, maybe I'll kick myself when the 10 comes out and I actually see the screen on that thing. But all I got to think of is $800.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and this thing takes fantastic pictures. I put one on Instagram. I think it was maybe, might've been the day I got it last Sunday. And we were walking the dogs down by this little, small little beach we have in town. And there was a post sticking out of the yes. sand about a foot high. And I took that handheld with a live photo with the intention of using the long exposure feature just to get the water, you know, smoothly flowing around the post. And it worked like a charm.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a little better if it was on a tripod, but the image stabilization in the wide angle camera is pretty darn good. So I think, you know, that's pretty much the reason why I didn't wait for the 10. Besides, I don't think I would have got one before spring because the limited supply is just going to be crazy.
Yeah, but you don't want to be the first, like I said, you don't want to be the first one to jump on the wagon. You know, you'll take the arrows. But that's just my opinion. I want to see what it does. I want to see what people say about it and then go from there. I'm the one that would typically wait and see what everybody says about it before jumping on board.
Yeah. And Matt just put in the chat room that he's leaning toward the 8 Plus, but he still wants to wait and see what they both look like before he makes his decision. And, you know, that's okay too. You know, if you can wait, you know, that's even better. I'm not too afraid of jumping on the bandwagon usually. But this time it was the $800.
Yes.
that was a deal breaker for me.
Yeah, that can be a lot, especially when it's inflated. You know, if $800 over here, you know, it's there. Yeah, you're basically, that's the phone. When you're getting a phone and it's almost the costs as much as having another one, that's just way too much. And the inflation, it's the exchange rate that is causing it to be
High. Like the iPhone 10 starts at $999 for you guys. Up here it starts at, I think it's $1,249 or something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
So I mean that's a big difference.
Yeah, Matt said that he can wait. He hasn't even updated to 11 yet. Dude, you need to jump on board. Even if it bogs your phone down.
Yeah, iOS 11 is pretty cool. There's some pretty cool things in there.
And I have not heard any major issues either, which is nice and surprising.
Yeah, yeah. And
there's no gate so far.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Oh.
my wife was using an iPhone 6, and it had the 16 gig storage on it.
Oh.
iOS 11 saved her over 3 gig.
Oh, wow.
But now that's she's got my 6S, which has 128 on it, so that's a non-issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, for anyone who's on a phone with very limited storage, iOS 11 will save you some more room.
Wow.
So there's that to think about. And I don't think it will go on anything anything below a 5S. So the 5C, I don't think it works on.
Okay.
I think, I'm not sure.
I'll have to look. I have a 5C.
It works.
I think
it needs the 64-bit architecture to work.
Yeah, I know.
It definitely needs that. It definitely needs that. That's why a lot of the older apps are no longer working.
Yeah.
Matt says 32-bit apps don't work.
Matt says he's waiting for the 11.0.2 to come out, which 11.0.1 just came out. And I did update that one last night. And so, was it either last night or it was Tuesday night. I think it might have been Tuesday night. But,
they come out on Tuesday, yeah.
I didn't have any issues. A lot of times I wait, but I wanted to jump on there and try the new things that, are at our fingertips. And I don't think I had any issues with it. And, they said they were fixed some minor, bugs and all that in the software. I just never saw it. So it may have been other models that were having issues with the OS. So
yeah, looking at the Apple website right now, the 5S is the oldest number one that works. I don't know where the SE is considered in terms of.
Well, the SE has the 6S internals.
Internals, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it does. So it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it does mention the SE here specifically, but in terms of the numbered phones, the 5S is the oldest one. And it goes all the way back to the iPad Mini 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes, and so that for iPads, it actually goes on probably every iPad that anyone would have.
Almost.
Yeah. Well, that would be right. Yeah, that's true.
It worked on my iPad Air.
Yeah.
So that was good.
So
I can't do split view with it, but I can do swipe over or slide over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Type of thing. So I can drag I could drag an app out of the dock and hold it there, and then it'll open up in slide over. So it's not the same as split view, because with split view you can actually have two windows basically, but with slide over, the background app dims down a bit and your slide over app is on the side, and then all you gotta do is slide it back to the side, slide it off the screen to the right or whatever, and then you got your main app back again. But so you can't run two apps right together. You can see the one or the other, but it's not too bad.
So I wanted to talk about the portrait mode, the photo that you took and posted on Facebook. Take us through, what the process was and what were your thoughts at the end.
Okay, so the first one I put on there, it's a very rare shot of me.
Yeah.
I'm always, always, always behind the camera. And so in order to do portrait mode on the 8 Plus, I had to actually turn the phone around so I couldn't see what I was getting on the screen. Because in portrait mode, there's a circle where you put your face.
Oh, yeah.
And it reads your face. It picks up, the eyes, nose, mouth, whatever. And that's how it determines how to make sure that your eyes and whatnot are in sharp focus. And then the rest of it, it gets faded out, and of course the background's blurry. So it was a first try and it worked. And the light is just at my dining room table and it was just above me. So that's why, there's shadows in my eyes and under my nose. And it's a very dark type of thing. And I used the stage lighting. And you can do stage lighting in color and monochrome or black and white. So I used the stage lighting and all that just literally blacked out everything in the background.
Wow.
And this particular shot, it really worked well. I have tried a couple of different portrait shots with other people where it didn't black out the whole background for some reason. So I think they've got you know, they got a little bit of work to do on that. Either that or I have to learn how to better compose the shots. So, and then below that post, if anybody's been looking at it, I put just a screenshot from my phone from when I was in the edit mode of a portrait shot that I did outside at work today. And this, the first one is the original image, what it would look like without portrait mode at all. And then right below that, I put portrait mode again with studio light. Now, studio light is like putting a reflector down in front of you, like pointing up at your face out of camera view. And it, so it really lights up the features of your face better. So it gets rid of the shadows around the eyes and whatnot. And it makes the eyes show up a little better. And then below that, I did one while I was still in edit mode, another screenshot of what it would look like with stage light. And I made a comment that it's not perfect every time, because you can see that there's a road behind me, and part of the road over my one shoulder did not get blacked out for whatever reason. So that stage lighting, I'm going to play around with it a bit, but it's certainly not my favorite one. I kind of like the studio light. And depending on how bright the scene is, or the light that's, you know, the ambient light around, there's one called, oh gosh, what is it? I can never remember these things. Contour light or something. It, what it does is it really reads the contours of your face, and it'll actually, maybe darken the shadows a little bit and brighten the bright spots a little bit more. Almost it gives it a real contoured look, which is kind of good. It's kind of a dramatic type of thing. But you know, again, I haven't had a chance to play around with it nearly as much as I want to, but I'm off work now for almost 2 weeks. So
I'm going to
go nuts.
I'd say.
so that's the gist of the portrait mode that I know so far. Especially with regard to the one I put on the Facebook group.
Cool.
And it's pretty neat. And you know, you can edit these. You can go right into your editing screen on your phone, and you can saturate it more. You can lighten it, darken it. You can do all the adjustments you can do to a regular photo. You can do that with these portrait modes.
Oh, now that's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. It's because I tend to like to take them down just a little bit in the brightness and maybe increase the saturation just a wee bit.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's got their
exactly
their preferences, look, or their style. Yeah, their preferences.
Yeah, Bill said that Bill in the chat said that the app Mira, MIRA, has a feature where the light can be changed. So it sounds you know, it's something that you can try also. I think that's interesting. You know, the fact that you can do that on the phone. And to be honest, I was like thinking to myself, what engineer thought that would be a great idea to put on the phone? And, you know, it's like, is it going to be used often? I haven't seen anything across Instagram where
look for people's profile pics.
Oh, that's true. I'll have to pay attention to that. But you know, a lot of times a neat feature will come out and everybody jumps on it, and then slowly they fade away.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, I've never been one to take pictures of people, but this has really got me excited about it. I'm like a couple of guys at work. I said, okay, don't move. And I took their pictures.
Yeah.
And you know, a couple of them turned out really cool.
Yeah.
Bill, you know, it's like, like deer caught in the headlights, but
yeah,
just the way that the feature worked in those situations, it was really, really good.
Yeah, Bill said, are selfies popular? Question mark. Yes, but usually the selfie is the person and the background. That's where a lot of people, you know, they'll take a selfie of themselves in their elements, whatever. But yeah, he's,
you know, right. And if I use this to on myself anymore, I probably will be setting it up on the tripod and doing it more like a portrait than a selfie.
Sure.
You know, because I can't use the front camera, right? It doesn't work on the front camera. Only on the iPhone 10 it'll do that. So I want to play around with it. Maybe do a nice self-portrait of, you know, in a nice surrounding and just to see how it works.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how far away I can be from the camera for this either. I think you have to be kind of close.
You do. To work.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the 7 Plus, you have to be around 8 feet away or so.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Because anything I've done of myself is obviously arm's length. They're not even that.
Right. Right. Well, at least that's with the 7. So I'm assuming the 8 with a larger sensor, and they improved the wide camera. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's just the software that goes along with it. Maybe there's some hardware. I think they said there's the new image processing chip that Apple designed that's in the 8 and the 10.
Oh, yeah.
So there's that on top of whatever software and the camera hardware, but the actual silicon's actually gotten significantly better. Mm. And I was looking at the examples Apple had on the different modes they had. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks like when they do contour light and stage light, they're real similar in terms of how they light the face.
Yeah.
The big difference is the background, where you can almost think about it as a shortcut. The contoured light gives you the same facial as the stage light, but it keeps the background blurry instead of blacking it out.
Yeah. Yeah, because if you look at those ones on the Facebook group that I put on, the portrait mode, the studio light, where the background is still visible, you know, I have maybe a 3 o'clock shadow. But if you look at the stage light one, it's more like 7:30 at night shadow. Like it really darkens down my beard.
Yeah.
So what I can't wait to try is I ordered a photo case from Moment so that I could use my lenses.
Yep.
Mm.
And I can't wait to try one of the lenses on this thing and see what it does with portrait mode.
Nice. Yeah.
It'll probably not even work.
You don't have to, the aspect ratio of the cameras, or I said the placement, settings on the cameras, you didn't have to change. These are the same placements on the phone.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? If I put a lens on, I think you can only put it on the wide angle, then it's going to cover up the other one anyway, so it ain't going to work. Portrait mode won't work.
Huh.
I think they need both photos somehow working together.
They use both
for lenses. It to work.
Yep. So I guess I can't try to screw around with it.
Well, cool. Well, I'm glad you were able to come on and talk about it. You know, having a in the wild experience is a lot better than taking somebody's word for it over an article. And so I was glad you were able to come on and talk about it.
Oh, I'm always glad to come on. Something that I should note is, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, Austin Mann.
Yeah.
He always gets lucky enough to get a phone from Apple to test in the field, generally before the release date. And he has on his website, austinmann.com, he has some stuff on the iPhone 8 Plus that he did, and he touches on portrait mode there as well. And whatnot. So there's a good place to go and do some. I haven't read it myself. I'm going to go there sometime over the weekend and have a look at what he had to say.
Very cool.
Yeah, he took a trip to India with the iPhone 8.
Oh, I did see those pictures.
Some of those photos are just really amazing how they turned out.
Yeah, like the guy's good.
Send me a link to his site and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So, all right. Very actually, cool.
Oh, the one thing also I wanted to mention, Joe, I did a quick look for U.S. prices for the difference of AppleCare.
Yeah.
For the 8, It's $129 for 2 years of coverage. For the 8 Plus, it's $149. And for the 10, it's $199.
Wow, that's a big jump.
Yeah.
But so,
yeah.
The you know, $20 difference between the 8 and the 8 Plus, and then it's a $60?
$50 difference there.
$50 difference.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, cool. We'll have that link in the show notes, and so yeah, and I suspect that we'll probably get some more feedback from you, Greg, in the future.
Yeah, and yeah. I'll be posting to the group. You know, more when I get stuff done with it, and I'll probably post it to the other community I'm in, which is the Artful Life Photography community.
Yeah.
On the Mighty Bell Network. They're interested as well. So I'll be double posting a lot of things, I think. And then, of course, on Instagram, too.
Yep. Very cool. Well, speaking of Instagram, let's go ahead and move into our post pick of the week. All right, our current weekly photo challenge, which started last week, is Twisted and will continue on till next week. But in the meantime, we are going to pick out of the Instagram hashtag TinyShutter. And this week, I asked Greg, since he was our guest, to come on and to pick the post pick of the week. So, Greg, let me turn it over to you.
Okay. With the onset of the autumn season, I picked one by the username is Miss dot like MS dot I'm a phone. So it's a kind of a creative name, but her name is Jackie Miller, and it's a photo of there's some colored leaves in the background, and then there's a looks like a small part of a branch going in front of them with two drops hanging off the branch, and you can see the leaves in behind. You know, the refraction or whatever of these leaves in the drops. And I just thought that this was just the epitome of fall at this point. So, you know, I don't know how the colors are for everybody else, but up here, they're just starting to change and they're coming into their own. I think over the next week or so, it's going to be pretty cool to see. And I thought it was a really nice, colorful image that she took on a 7 Plus.
Very cool. Yeah, I like the colors. I saw a big difference on my phone compared to my computer screen. And I have to say on the phone, it was more vibrant. But I love the colors, and it helps to contrast against not only the sky, but also the water droplets. And it adds the color to the water droplets. And I love macro and up close with depth of field. It's an awesome image.
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
No, not really much to add. It's just a great image. And it's always amazing the kind of shots, especially the macro shots people can get. I mean, looking at the twig going across, you can actually see the little, lack of a better term, the tears in the bark itself. The little texture in the bark itself as it's going across. It's like, like I said, and the reflection and refraction of the leaves in the background. Just, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Well, that's a great selection.
That's something I've always wanted to capture is reflections in drops like this, and I don't think I've been able to get them just yet. Not like this, anyway.
So,
little envious of this one.
You don't have a macro lens with Moment, do you?
Yep. I have the macro, the wide, and the tele.
Okay. Got it. Well, something to strive for. A little bit of a challenge.
Yeah. Definitely.
Very cool. Well, congratulations, Jackie. You are our post. There we go. You are our post pick of the week. And if you would like to be featured as our post pick of the week, go on to our Facebook group and look for our weekly photo challenge. And you can also use the hashtag TinyShutter on Instagram. And we have a lot of submissions there. I think we're still in the 30,000 range. I don't think we've broken 40,000, but
getting close. We are in the, we are definitely in the upper 30s. So yes. We're getting there. We're definitely getting there.
And then also we've broken 1,200 in our Facebook group and are still getting a lot of requests to join the group. So that is awesome. Very cool. Well, is there anything else that you guys would like to bring up, or are we at that point?
I wanted to bring up something real quick.
Sure.
Something off of something you mentioned, the difference between the phone, your phone, and your computer, is that for the last couple of iterations, Apple's been putting out the wide, and same thing with the iPad, the wide color gamut.
Yeah.
Displays, where the phones and the iPads, the colors are really going to pop more than putting it on an. I know there's some computers out there with the wide color gamut, but most of them, especially if they're work computers or, you know, family computers, not for photo editing, they're going to pop a lot more on the phone. So, you know, in terms of, let's say you're sharing a photo with, if someone's sharing a photo with someone else and they're like, oh yeah, it's a good photo, and you look at it on your phone, all of a sudden it's like, wow, that is a massive difference. You could definitely see that. And I think that's one of the things there. I think the Apple's hoping for the 10 with the OLED, even though, like you said, when you look at the 7 Plus and some of the 8 Plus that you see in the stores, those LCDs are really good.
Yeah,
with the white color.
I'm going to have to pop into one of those stores maybe tomorrow and take a look, because I still haven't seen the 8 or the 8 Plus yet. And I want to get them in my hands and get a feel and, you know, tempt myself, but we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mentioned last time I was on that I have the MacBook Pro that has the white color gamut. And, you know, when I said too that when I compared this one to my old one before I sold it with the same photo on the screen that was a wide color gamut photo, the difference is astounding.
Yeah.
The display just makes it pop so much. So now shooting with the 8 Plus and being able to see them on this screen, it's the best of both worlds right there.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right, gentlemen, let me go ahead and play this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
Greg, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Well, most of my photography has been going to Instagram, and it's username Red Door Photos, all one word. And but if you want all my other online stuff, it's about.me/McMillan.
Very cool. Dave, tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure, you can find all my photo stuff on either Instagram as ProfPod or in the Tiny Shutter group on Facebook as Dave Podner.
Very cool. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find links to our YouTube channel, to our Facebook group, and anything that we put in our show notes by going to tinyshutter.com. And yeah. So I have to say, if you haven't joined our Facebook group, you guys need to join us and you know, see what everybody's doing. Not only do we have our weekly photo challenge going on, but we also have people posting things that they want to show us. I actually had one gentleman ask for a critique, and he was getting some feedback. So, you know, this is a a good place to come to know that your images are going to be not only viewed, but also if you wanted a little bit of feedback or some pointers, by all means ask. But you know, just come and take a look around and see what people are doing. It's really inspiring. So I have to say I'm very proud of this group and what they've done and how they are interacting with each other. It's very fun. All right.
And if you want to find another photographer, you can find Matt Hoffman on IM, Twitter, and Instagram at M Hoffman Photo.
Yeah. I just now saw it in the chat. Thanks, Matt. You're awesome.
He is an editing guru, people.
Yeah. Check him out. He needs to jump on the bandwagon and get 11 so he can start posting some
screen recording.
Some video of his stuff.
Do it.
Peer pressure. He smiled. Very cool. All right. Well, I think that's it. So thank you guys for being here. Greg, thank you for sharing. And we'll definitely have you back on for some more stuff, whether it's iPhone 8 Plus related or something else, but thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure.
And same Dave, thanks for all that you do. And you know, I tell you what, I said one time, you know, I'm not that technical when it comes to certain things, but you know, somebody corrected me that I can be technical, but you know, I'm not as technical as these two gentlemen are, but you know, it's good to have you guys on to be able to, you know, help me keep from messing things up. But thank you guys.
And I should remind you, Joe, that you do splice phone lines together and we don't.
That is true. That is true. You actually do technical things for a living.
You do.
All they are numbers and colors. No, I joke. All right. Well, Dave, why don't you lead us out of here?
Okay. Well, thanks everyone for interacting and have a glorious week.
We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, flaming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.